Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shakti Putra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasyaga Jamurupurin Maturin Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Please repeat. Nilachala Nivasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balabhadra Subhadrabhyam Jagannathaya Te Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation groups are going on. Looks like quite a few of the devotees succumbed to the after breakfast prasadam syndrome. Causes unconsciousness, right? It's a medical syndrome. Usually goes away by itself without medicine after a couple of hours, after which time it's time to take more prasadam. Looks like they took my advice to take prasadam up to the neck seriously. I wish I had to take all the instructions seriously and not just that one. So, as I said a little earlier, this is a Puri Dham is uniquely multicultural. Multicultural and is monocultural also. There you go, that's Hinduism for you. Can't work it out at all. You don't even know the term multicultural because it's just so much part of Indian life that it's like you don't even think about it. But in the West, it's something they're thinking about. All different cultures come together and they try and get on together. But in India, they more or less just do it anyway. There's no big issue about whether you're a Tamil or a Marathi or whatever, everyone just lives together. So there are very various strands of Hinduism and everyone comes to Puri. Yesterday as I was chanting on the roof of the lodge in which I'm staying at Chaitanya Gaurya Math, there was a man doing a part reading from Guru Gita, Datta. He's a Dattatreya with full bhasma, this Smarta Shaiva Tilak, Namam in Tamil it's called, is it? Namam. So he's also here in Puri. Everyone comes, whatever, whether you're Shakta, Smarta, Vaishnav, tantric, or most Hindus never even heard any of these words. They're just Hindus. They all come to. Everyone comes to Puri. But undoubtedly, although at one time it seems that Buddhism was prominent here and different ups and downs, because the Shankaracharya is very prominent here, which is not what we would call Vaishnava. So there are various strands here. But undoubtedly, Vaishnavism is prominent. Most people, if they think about it at all, think that Jagannath is Krishna, and definitely most of the Oriya people. Jagannath is Krishna, Subhadra is obviously his sister, and Balabhadra is obviously his brother. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism is especially prominent here. Bhagavad Purana is recited daily in the temple, as is the whole Bhagavad Gita. And in the evening, Gita Govinda is recited here. The Devadasis no longer dance, but young men from the Janjapitha Mutt, they do the dancing instead, dressed as gopis. Janjapitha Mutt, I won't tell you what that is. It's, maybe you know. If you know, you know. If you don't, I won't tell you. So this, we would call it Upper Sampradaya. So this Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam is very much part of the culture of Orissa, not only here in Puri, but all of Orissa. In Orissa, when people talk of or think of Bhagavatam, for them that means the Oriya version, the 13 canto Bhagavatam in Oriya by Jagannath Das. And also very popular in Orissa, even here in, when I was staying here in Puri about 7 years ago, for a month, I was staying in someone's house, paying to use a room, and every night they would recite from Nrisimha Purana. Here it's not Nrisimha or Nrisimha, as in North India, but Nrisimha. So they would recite every night from that. So Nrisimha culture is also very prominent here in Orissa, especially as you get further south, many in Ganjam district. That's mixed Oriya and Telugu population on the border with Andhra Pradesh. And most of the devotees in Simhachalam, next to Vishakhapatnam, is the temple of Lakshmi Varaha Narasimha Swami. And especially on the day of Chandan Yatra, when the Chandan block covering Lakshmi Varaha Narasimha is broken, and then mostly people from huge crowds come mostly from South Orissa. So Nrisimha Purana, but especially Bhagavad Purana, Krishna Lila, and Gita Govinda is very much part of the culture. It's amazing how much that's it's all over India, Gita Govinda. In the way down in Kerala also, in Tamil Nadu, it's at least used to be well known and recited. And no one until the 19th century, when the British came along and the Arya Samajis came along, ever thought that it was something vulgar. It's always been understood that Radha Krishna Leela is completely transcendental. It's only these idiots who started to think that it's something material. Otherwise, throughout India, it was very much part of the culture. not only for specifically for Vaishnavas. And no one questioned that even without discussing so much philosophy, people just understand that the British came in and they said, "Oh, Shiva Parvati and Radha Krishna is all vulgar, and how can you believe in any such god?" But people just understand it's aprakrita, it's beyond our present stage. If we low class conditioned souls as we are, if we are attracted to sexual matter, we are, that is our disease, we are attracted to such low class things. But for Krishna, that is superlatively transcendental. What is the proof that Krishna is God? Radha. Because Krishna is dancing with the gopis. That's the proof. And Prabhupada gives that proof in the Nectar of Devotion also. There's one German scholar who I believe he's referring to his godbrother, this Ernest Schultz. What was his initiated name? Anyone remember? I can't remember. He came and he saw all the different temples and different gods, and they're all doing, they've all got some work to do. They all have some part in universal affairs, but for Krishna, he has no work to do. Name karmani limpanti, name karma phale spriha. He works, but that's only as Vishnu he works. Even that is the work he does. He just looks. That's just by his looking. He brings, and by sleeping. That's his work. He's the Indian government officials are all Vaishnavas. They're all imitating Vishnu. Just by sleeping, he makes the whole universe come into motion. And he doesn't take any bribes also. So that's the difference. And by his looking, he injects everything into the cosmos. So, but Krishna, he's more excited. Krishna hardly sleeps. Vishnu sleeps a lot. That's yoga nidra, not tamagun. But Krishna, when does he sleep? Only a little bit. Most of the night, when his mother thinks he's sleeping very nicely, he's outside in the forest. So in the daytime he's dancing, and in the nighttime he's dancing, and that's the proof that he's God. That's the proof that Srila Prabhupada, because he's nothing to do. God is not anything to do. He doesn't have to come and die for your sins. What am I going to do with all those sinful people? I have to go and suffer. It's ridiculous. God, suffering? What is this nonsense? Rascaldom, actually. Srila Prabhupada called it rascaldom. When one Christian priest came to Srila Prabhupada and said that we've now understood the mystery of Jesus, that God is suffering for mankind. And Srila Prabhupada said right in his face, that is rascaldom, to say that God is suffering. He's the supreme enjoyer, Purushottama. He never suffers. He's always blissful. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitapis. Tabhirya eva nijarupateya kalabihi. Goloka eva nivasatya khilatma bhuto. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He's God. He's in everyone's heart. He sees what everyone is doing. He's supervising the universe and all these things that you expect God to do. But apart from that, the real thing that he's doing is, that's his own internal matter. He's simply enjoying. So this Gita Govinda is a description of Krishna's most intimate, transcendental enjoyment. And that is recited daily here, for the pleasure of Jagannath. So, Vaishnavism is the predominant strain of what some people would call Hinduism. Jayadev Goswami, the author of Gita Govinda, we say the author, but Technically, that's correct, that he wrote it down. But it's more like that he's a rishi. The rishis, they are mantra drashta. They see the eternal mantras of the Vedas, which are ever existing. Some are revealed at some point in time, and some are not revealed. So Krishna imparts that knowledge to Brahma, Brahma gives that to others, and that is handed down in human society. Some become lost. And then the rishis, they by their purity, they reveal those, the eternal mantras, they reveal. So the eternal mantras of the Vedas, the rishis reveal. So in the same way we say Gita Govinda, the author is Jayadev, but he's not the author in the sense that he's sitting down and writing some novel and whatever imagination comes in his mind. But he sees the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he writes that. So Gita Govinda, the author is Jayadev, but it's eternal. It's nothing invented. So there's a controversy over the birth. Where is the birthplace of Jayadev Goswami? And at least according to modern scholars, and especially Arya scholars, but it seems to be fairly well settled. It was in Kendra Bilva Kendra, close to Puri. Although according to some, that's Micah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he was born in Bengal in Birbhum district. It seems certain that he'd spent some time in Navadvip, and then later he came to Puri. So whether he's born, anyway, it doesn't matter that much where he was born. But this is more than other parts of India. Gita Govinda is still very much part of the culture of Orissa. And I haven't spent much time in Orissa for quite a few years. And everything all over the world is getting worse all the time. But it used to be that in the morning, from the pan stalls, the first thing in the morning, they'd play. I heard here just now also at some little hotel or whatever, they'd play Vishnu. I heard that Vishnu Sahasranama was being played. And that was common. There would be songs of Jagannath by Shalabeg and Gita Govinda. These would be, it's very much part of the culture. One devotee from Orissa. Who was that? I'm just trying to remember. I can't remember now. He told me that in his childhood, in every village in Orissa, there was a kirtan group, and Narottam songs were also very much part of the culture. Even though they're in Bengali, Oriya people can understand Bengali pretty much. It's very, very similar language, although the script is completely different, almost completely different. But the language is the same. Not the same, but very similar. Yeah, it's another kind of music. It's going on. So that was common, that... it wasn't common. It was in every village. And there would be... If you say common, that means it's in some places, in many places, but in some not. But it's better to say that it was universal. But that's gone now. With electricity comes TV. The kirtan is finished. It's more exciting to watch someone in a drama punch someone else in the face and then the other person pull out a gun and shoot him dead and then have kirtan. We don't believe that, but that's what's happening. That's why in our projects there's no electricity. Electricity means less kirtan. Less kirtan, more maya. So yeah, that's central to the Gita Govinda, Narottam Sangeet, songs of Narottam Das. Yeah, that's just at night. That's Gita Govinda is sung to Jagannath just before he pretends to go to sleep. Just reminding him what he's going to be doing. He doesn't get much time to sleep here because the devotees are always feeding him. He's eating from early morning till late at night. Oh yeah, that Gita Govinda, that chanting in the temple began when Jagannath ordered that. There was one Mali girl, means a gardener caste, growing flowers. And close to the temple she was singing Gita Govinda very nicely. And then Jagannath told his younger brother, the king of Orissa, bring that girl. I want her to come to the temple and sing for me. So from that time it's been going on. Oh, and I was saying in Kerala it's very much part of the tradition. That's with the dance. So not only in the temple, but this dance culture is, traditional dance culture is very famous, of course, in Kerala. And also here in Orissa, Odissi dance, so a major theme of that is Krishna Leela, of course. Beginning with the Dashavatara. The Gita Govinda begins with Dashavatara Stotra. Almost begin. There are a few verses at the beginning. As I said, that although Vaishnavism, and especially Gaurya Vaishnavism, I'll get back to a little later, is a major influence on the culture. Also, another major influence is Shankaracharya, who established one of his mutts here in the four corners of India. He established his major mutts. So here in Puri, that's called Govardhan Mutt. And it's amazing what Shankaracharya did. He traveled so widely in such a short time and had such an influence. And to go to a place and organize a mutt and set up all the traditions of worship and everything in a short time, and to go, I mean, we have such a problem to build a temple and to try and have anything to keep anything in order. But he gave the worship schedule, the daily schedule, everything, and it's been going on ever since, hundreds of years later. So here, Govardhan Mutt is that's just next to the seashore. Near to that's a whole other area out there. There's Haridas Thakur Samadhi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhakti Kuti, Tota Gopinath, Purushottam Math, established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in the, all in that area, that's all near the Swargadwara area, is the Govardhan Mart. Swargadwara, the gate to heaven. It's the burning gate. Body is burned, it means you're supposed to go. Actually, you go better than heaven if you die in Puri. There's a tradition here in Puri that the sadhus are not put in samadhi as in other places. Their body is burned here also. So, Shankara, he established his martyr and the worship system. The worship system is unique here. It's influenced by Shankara. He established so many rituals and so many procedures. But that's also mixed with consideration that Jagannath was living in the jungle long ago. And the jungle people were worshipping him. So when he was in the jungle, he was worshipped in a very familiar way. And when he came to the big city, just like Krishna in Vrindavan, then he went to Mathura. And Mathura is sophisticated people. So in the big city, the big temple, it's all very sophisticated, but he never forgot his village roots, or in this case, his jungle roots. So both strands are going on side by side. Later, when Ramanuja came, Ramanuja was on a Vaish. After Shankara, the next great Acharya was Ramanuja, and his business was to clean up the mess left by Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya cleaned up the mess left by the Buddhists, but he created his own mess as he went along. I could get beaten for saying this. Good, I'm speaking in English. He created his own mess. He converted the Buddhist mess into the Mayavad mess. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's a worse mess. Vedna manya bodh haito nastik. Veda shritya nastik yavad bodhake adik. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to the Mayavadis of Varanasi, said that the Buddhists are atheists because they don't follow the Veda, they don't accept the Vedas. So the Mayavadis who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying to, yeah, that's right, yeah. And our Shankara, he re-established the Vedas. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to say, but those who speak the same nonsense in the name of the Vedas, they're even worse. At least the Buddhists are straightforward and they say we don't accept the Vedas, but the Mayavadis say that, yeah, we accept the Vedas, but we don't accept Krishna. But we accept Krishna in our own. Krishna is subordinate to the what they conceive of as the Supreme. So Ramanuja came around to clear up another mess. He went all around India also. And one of the things he did was, well, he did many things, turning Shiv mandirs into Vishnu mandirs, for instance, at Tirupati. And that was a constant pastime. In Tiruvannamalai, the Krishna mandir got taken over by Shiv mandir, so it's going backwards and forwards like this. It's about time we reconverted that into a Vishnu mandir. Who wants to preach in Tiruvannamalai? That's what our acharyas did. Ramanuja did that. Anyway, so he preached that, okay, Advaita, that is, Ramanuja preached, Advaita, that is there in Shastra, undoubtedly, but Vishishtadvaita, it's not just, it is all one in one sense, but that one is Vishnu, and we're all related to him with our own Vaishishtya, our own individual characteristics. So he, Ramanuja, when he came to Puri, he wanted to change the system of worship here, which is unusual. The two systems of worship acceptable for Vishnu are Vaidic and Pancharatrik. And the worship of Jagannath here could be neither, doesn't fit into either category. So Ramanuja wanted to change all that. And he took rest one night with the idea, the next morning I'm going to go in and change it. He's Ramanuja, he can do things like that. But he didn't. Because Jagannath thought, I like it like this. And so he sent Ramanuja, you go and, I'm down there in Kurukshetra also, you go and see, you go and do something, you go and change the system there, don't do it here. He kicked him out overnight. Well, now I get beaten by the Ramanuja Sampradaya also. He transferred him. Ramanuja went to sleep in Puri, he woke up in Kurukshetra. He woke up and said, no, you have to change all the system of worship. So, he's in a different place. So Shankara's influence is very strong, which means that Vaishnavism, but as in many places, people, they worship Vishnu, but especially they worship Vishnu, but it's in Bengal there's one sampradaya, Shankara Mat Gauranga Pat. They do kirtan and they, but their philosophy is Mayavad. So it's something like that over here also. It's, if you speak with local pandas or whatever, and that's very widespread also, like Ramanandis in North India, they're all big Tilak, Ram Bhaktas. If you speak with them, their idea is that the Ram is a manifestation of, and as soon as you say that, you know that they're off. Whatever they say after that, he's not a manifestation of anything. Everything is a manifestation of him. So it is largely influenced by that. But at the same time, we shouldn't be totally dismissive, because Jagannath accepts. And although we don't like that philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself doesn't like it, as he states, you'll find in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he doesn't like Mayavad at all. But at the same time, the Shankaracharyas have been instrumental in preserving the basic culture of Vedic culture over all these centuries. So Shankara has been very influential here. One way he's very influential, anyone can think of another way he's very, very important, you know, Shankara's influence. Jagannath Ashtakam, he compiled. We've heard it's not in any of the biographies that we accept as authorized, but it's the tradition that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also regularly recite this Jagannath Ashtakam. Yeah, the Vaishnav. Nowadays, in Puri, the Vaishnav presence, the strong Vaishnav, clearly Vaishnav presence, is that of the Gauriya Mats. So that's fairly recent. That's the influence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There are many Gauriya Mats here. This is, of course, the appearance place of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we can see his influence here, by there are so many Gauriya Mats here. Almost all the Gauriya Mats, they'll have branches in different places, mostly in Bengal and in other places also, but they all like to have a mat here. Because of, well, various reasons for that. One reason is, one major reason is because this is the we could say the most important place of pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inasmuch as particularly here, he demonstrated his transcendental madness. I'll get back to that. So the Vaishnava, but previously, even now, all the Vaishnava sampradayas have their mats here. But they're, unfortunately, as in much of India, these old sampradayas, they're in a weakened state. So they're not so prominent. Oh, that I also wanted to say about Jagannath culture. It's also, it picks up things over course of time also, so that they can incorporate things also. Just like this, Jagannath himself ordered for the Gita Govinda to be chanted, and different mutts, they have different services to perform, and providing tulsi, providing bhog, sometimes cooked items they have to offer. And it is, over the years, they under certain terms, they'll allow, or they'll, different mutts will be asked to do different services like this. There's like this Janjapita mutt. It's a modern mutt. It's how old? Not much more than 100 years old. So their members dance for Jagannath. That was introduced there. So the Vaishnava influence is, it used to be stronger with all the Ramanuja, Ramanandi, Madhva mats. Another reason that all the Vaishnavas like to have their mats here, and the Gauriya mats like to have their, one reason, is because so many of their members, they visit from Bengal and from different places, so that's the service they perform. You'll see in many holy places that different sampradayas from different places, they have their own dharmshala for their own people. Otherwise, it's very difficult to find a place to stay, especially at Rathiyatra time. So that's a service for their own their own members like to have their own mutt here, so that they have a place to stay, and they can get prasadam according to their convenience. So you could say it's a material arrangement, but it's for the sake of serving the Lord. Arrangements have to be made also. Just like some of the devotees here are, some of the most active devotees at all these festivals, you'll never see them. How is it that they're the most active and you don't see them? They're in the kitchen, working hard, literally day and night. Or some of those who are not at the programs, they'll be running around here and there. During these festivals, Hare Krishna Prabhu doesn't sleep, practically. Because all night people will be arriving, he arranges their accommodation and this and that. And during the day, there's innumerable things for him to do. So, when we say that the different religious groups want to have their mats here for their convenience so they can get prasad, it's not material. It's an arrangement so that they can come here and serve Jagannath, have his darshan and all this. For those who came late, Hindi anuvad ho raha hai us gate ka bahar. Telugu us kone mein akra. And Tamil in the hotel. I won't even attempt to say one word of Tamil, because even to pronounce it is, for me, achintya. I'm not sure how my attempted Telugu pronunciation is, or Hindi for that matter. So, another reason that Puri is so important, in what we can say is the capital of Vaishnavism. What is that? Some people say Vrindavan, some people say Navadvip, some people say Dwaraka, some people will say Srirangam, some people say Tirupati. What's the most important? It's very difficult. Who will say what's the most important? There. How they're all the most important, because they're all infinite. And when you get to infinity, then how can you say one's more important than the other? Although you can have something which is more infinite than something else. That's also possible. Mathematically. So I'm told. It's not, I told you that the other day, right? So it's not difficult to understand. But Puri, well, this Dashavata Kshetra, from that sense, and from another sense, because, I'll read out the verse, I should have learned it, but I'll read it out, but I can hardly see it. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishvala mata, atakalo bhavishyanti chatvaro sampradayaka. Sampradayena. From Padma Purana, stated that, recitation of any mantra will not be effective unless it's received in a sampradaya. And therefore, in Kali Yuga there will be bhavishyanti. This is spoken before Kali Yuga began. There will be four sampradayas, and they are named Sri Brahma. We can tell that to Venuguri Krishna, says right here in Padma Purana. Sri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnava Kshiti Pavanaha Chatvaraste Kalo Bhavya Hyutkale Purushottamat. There will be four sampradayas. Sri Vaishnav, Sri Sampradaya coming from Lakshmi, Brahma Sampradaya coming from Brahma, Rudra Sampradaya coming from Shiva. And it says here, Sanak Sampradaya. So that's Ramanuja Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and Nimbarka Sampradaya. So all of these Vaishnav Sampradayas, they are Kshiti Pavanaha. They are all these Vaishnavas, they are purifiers of the earth. And in Kali Yuga, they will all manifest in Utkal. The Puranic name of this area is Utkal. And a little further south begins Kalinga. There's from Delhi that train, some of you may have come on that, Utkal Kalinga Express. So the two together, it's known as Urisha. So Utkal Purushottamat, they will all spread from Utkal, Orissa, Purushottam, means Purushottam Kshetra, from here, right here, from Puri. So all these sampradayas, they spread from here. And all the Sampradaya Acharyas came here, particularly the Gaudiya Sampradaya is really spread from here. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching began in Navadvip. Shuno shuno nittananda shuno haridas shabatra amar agya karaha prakash prati ghari ghari giya karo e bikha bhaja krishna balo krishna karo krishna shikha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching began in Navadvip when he told Nityananda and Haridas to go door to door and beg people to worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and learn about Krishna. But it was hard work, even for God himself. He can do anything, he can do everything, but in his Leela, he left Bengal. He came to Puri. He sent Nityananda back to Bengal. He said, I can't preach there, you go and do it. So Nityananda, he is the one who all preachers have to pray to, because there's, well, and so many reasons. Nitaya Karuna Hobe, Braja Radha Krishna Pabe. So Nityananda, he was sent to Bengal from Puri, and from Puri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent out his, he himself went preaching all over South India. When that was, that specifically a preaching tour, when he went to, from Puri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Bengal for the purpose of, again, for seeing his mothers. One mother, the Ganga, he had born on the bank of the Ganga. Another mother, Shachi Mata. That was the ostensible reason for him going, although he had something to do with Rupa and Sanatan there also, who he kidnapped them and sent them out from their life of luxury and sent them into the life of Vaishnavism. And then when he went to Vrindavan, that was Tirtha Yatra, although he did some preaching, especially on the way back to the Mayavadi sannyasis. But his tour of South India, that was a preaching, specifically for preacher, although it was, the pretext was to search for his brother who had taken sannyas prior to him, but the actual reason was to spread Krishna consciousness all over South India. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally preached all over South India from going out from Puri, and he sent devotees from here out to preach also. And he preached all over the universe, because all the demigods, rishis, gandharvas, charanas, siddhas, they would all come here and join his sankirtan. And then the sankirtan goes all over the universe, as described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sankirtan is spread all over the universe. So from here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the sankirtan movement. So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, actually for all Vaishnavas of all sampradayas, Puri is special because of Jagannath, obviously, but because of the link with their sampradaya also. But particularly for Gaudiyas, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he was based here for 24 years, in which the first six, he, making Puri his base, he went here and there. Choy bachar eha gaman agaman kabhu dakin kabhu Kobu Banga, Kobu Vrindavan. Yeah, he spent 6 months, 6 years, coming and going from Puri to South India, Bengal and Vrindavan. These are the different places he visited in these 6 years. But it's particularly during his time of staying in Puri that he relished the ecstasy of Srimati Radhika, in for which purpose he came to this world. And that is recorded especially in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, partially. Just some little drops. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm just describing some little drops. That even one moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, even in millions of years, even Ananta Shesh, with unlimited mouths, with unlimited time, cannot even describe one moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So that's for that reason, because that is the main reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, for his own reason, was to relish the ecstasy of Srimati Radhika. But from our perspective, to give that, to reveal that. So by doing this, he gave us the opportunity also to enter into that. So Puri Dham is particularly for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, the place where he exhibited these pastimes. And how much time was there to discuss so many things? Now, places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, of course, the Puri Mandir itself, here in Puri, Jagannath Mandir, he would daily enter. He would daily visit the temple, except during the period when Jagannath gets sick. He is very hot and he's brought outside and given a bath, but then it gets too cold for him, so he becomes sick, and then he doesn't give darshan anymore. So at this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unable to bear the separation from Jagannath, he goes to Alvanath, and he worships Jagannath there as Alvarnath. So that's a place. Otherwise, daily Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking darshan in the temple. His place of residence in the house of Kashi Mishra, the Gambhira, that is there, just close to there, just a little bit opposite, is the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first stayed when he came to Puri, and where he spoke to Sarvabhauma and converted him from being a dry logician into being a juicy Vaishnava, Rasamai. He exhibited his six-armed form to Sarvabhauma. So these are all important places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Haridas Thakur's Samadhi on the beach, that is an important place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Samadhi to Haridas Thakur. The sea itself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is a great holy place, and even more so because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed there daily. And just in from the sea is the Chatak Parvat. You can't see that much now, the sand dunes. Now it's all covered with buildings. But the sand dunes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would, in his ecstasy, he would see the ocean as Yamuna, and the sand dunes as Govardhan. And just there, a little bit up from Haridas's samadhi, is Tota Gopinath temple, where the Tota means the seashore. So Gopinath deity there was served by Gadadhar Pandit. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly go there to hear Gadadhar recite the Bhagavatam. And particularly it's mentioned that from Gadadhar he would hear again and again from Bhagavatam the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he left this world, he wound up his pastimes by entering into that deity. So these Gambhira, there's so much to say. How he lived there. At night he would meet with Rai Ramananda and Swarup Damodar, and they would discuss Krishna's pastimes. Also, the Indradyumna Sarovara and Narendra Sarovara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take these two. Sarovara means large man-made pond, almost like a lake. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes take his devotees there and swim, play water sports. They'd bathe in the Sarvabhauma house also, of course, is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are so many pastimes. He would take prasad there, and so many things. So for this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place of pastimes. Of course, Navadvip is also a major place of pastimes. But many of those pastime places, then in the course of time, the Ganga changed course and those pastime places were washed away. Some have been re-revealed. But here in Puri, we know exactly the spot and the worship has been going on in those places since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally here. So it was particularly here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his feelings in Rath Yatra. There are various interpretations of Rath Yatra. The general idea is that Jagannath decides to go on an outing with Balaram and Subhadra, leaving Lakshmi behind, his wife, and he just goes off for a jaunt, leaving her behind. She gets angry and scolds him and brings him back, and she doesn't beat him, but she has her servants beat Jagannath's servants. She's a good wife, so she wouldn't beat her husband. Wives shouldn't beat their husbands. Usually we say husbands shouldn't beat their wives. Wives also shouldn't beat their husbands. So she doesn't beat her husband, but she has her servants beat his servants, just to show she's very angry with him. So that's the general understanding. And when he comes back, she doesn't allow him in. When Rath Yatra goes back to the Sri Mandir, then Lakshmi, she blocks the doors and he has to wait outside. After a day, she lets him inside. Okay, all right, come back. All right, I'll let you in this time. Don't do it again. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jai Madha Maharaja Ki Jai. Lanta kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, at Kurukshetra, the Vrajavasis, they saw Krishna after a long time. For them, a long time without Krishna is one moment. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam. Govinda virahename. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying in the mood of Sri Radha, says that one moment for me within your separation is like 12 years. And they were, the Vrajavasis were living, burned in the fire of separation. They went to meet Krishna at Kurukshetra. It's all described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or at least it's alluded to, and it's described in more detail elsewhere. So the Vrajavasis, they saw Krishna, but still they were, so long they'd wanted to see Krishna. Now they saw him, but they were not content. Because for them, Krishna is not as they saw him there, coming from Dwaraka with decorated in the costume of a king, with very awe-inspiring, with many horses and elephants and soldiers, and just like a kshatriya. So they weren't very content, and they wanted to bring him back to Vrindavan, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, wanted to bring Chaitanya, wanted to bring Krishna, Jagannath, to Vrindavan. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy, the Rath Yatra festival is bringing Krishna from the... Hare Krishna. We have a backup mic. Power off, like in backup mic behind me. We have? Battery. So, Krishna is living in great opulence, and he's, the Gundicha Mandir is Vrindavan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to take him there. So the Rath Yatra, for most people, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would come annually to Puri for Rath Yatra. And he explained that most people come here with this idea, Ratetu Vamanam Drishtva Punarjanma Najayate, that anyone who sees Vamana, which is also Jagannath, it's cited in relation to the to this Jagannath Rath Yatra. Anyone who sees Vamana, Jagannath, on his Rath, they're never born again. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that most people come here with this idea, that we will have darshan of Jagannath and we will be liberated. But he said that the Gauriyas, they attend Rath Yatra to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in to assist him in his bringing Krishna. So pulling the Rath is assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually we can't assist. He'll accept our service, but that's also stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally organized the kirtan and dancing parties for Jagannath. He would say, this one, who is a good kirtan leader, he should lead the kirtan. This one should play mridanga. This one, there was dancer, someone who is appointed specifically for dancing in each party. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself danced. He would dance in all the parties simultaneously. Although not everyone could see that. But then, at some point, sometimes Jagannath just stops. And no one, then he won't move. And everyone's pulling. Pulling. They can't move. What's wrong? There's some rock on the road, or the cart wasn't made properly, the wheel has got stuck. What's going on? Prataparudra Maharaj, the king, he was really the king at that time. Now the king of Orissa is what do we call that? A formal post? What's the word for that? Yeah, there's a better word than that. It's a formal post with no, he has no power, but Prataparudra was really the king of Orissa. He was the ruler. So if he had a big strong men come to pull, wouldn't budge. Then he had elephants. Elephants were very much part of the culture, and especially the kings had the strongest elephants for fighting. So he got the elephants to try to push from behind, and their mahouts, the elephant drivers, were with their ankush, they were hurting the elephants to make them push. And the elephants were screaming in pain and pushing as hard as they could. Wouldn't move. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, okay, you all go aside. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just put his forehead and pushed. And then the rat rolled again. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that actually he is bringing Jagannath. Everyone else, they're pulling, I'm pulling the rope. But Jagannath, that's his kindness, he's pulled by the rope. He makes us think that now I'm pulling Jagannath, but he is the controller. If he wants to stop, he stops. And there's nothing you can do to move him. But only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can move him. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he described some people, they come and sell bananas at Rath Yatra, because it's a good, if you're in the village and see your bananas are ripe, then you come to Rath Yatra, get darshan of Jagannath and sell some bananas. Get two things, as the English saying goes, not a very nice saying, you kill two birds with one stone. You get double benefit. You get some income, sell your banana. Know that you can sell bananas at a very high price. Anyone want to do a good business? Bring bananas at Rath Yatra. You can sell them at 10 times the rate, because there's so many pilgrims. So you sell the banana and you have darshan of Jagannath. You get money and you get liberated at the same time. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we do not come with that purpose. We come to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he's relishing separation from Jagannath. So there's much to say about that. I'll skip over that a bit because there are many things to say. Yeah, so yeah. The influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is obviously lasting influence. The people of Puri and of Orissa, they know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As I said, in every village, there used to be kirtan groups who would sing the songs of Narottam Das. some Oriya scholars being influenced by this idea that just like it came up later in the 19th century, this idea that, well, Krishna was immoral, although no one had ever thought of such a thing, and the British advertised that at Rath Yatra so many people come and kill themselves, these fanatics, they throw themselves in front of the wheels. Although that doesn't, there may have been a few cases, but it wasn't like there was mass suicide. The British accounts, they always describe deities as some monstrous, horrible thing. They're very impious people, actually, who came to India, and they had this idea that Hinduism or worship of deities, it's something of the devil. So they're very offensive. So, and they made all these, Krishna is immoral, and so some scholars of Orissa influenced by this. Hare Krishna. Sound. Kya ho raha hai? Isko adjust karo. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So they made this theory that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the cause of the downfall of Orissa. That because he made Prataparudra a devotee, and then Prataparudra, he lost his fighting spirit. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out, this is a nonsense theory, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he encourages the reluctant Arjuna to fight. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't tell Prataparudra that okay, now you're a Vaishnav, so just stop being a king and let everyone just walk over you. He has his duty to do. He has to protect the state. Although he was fighting a lot with another Vaishnava, this Krishna Deva Rai, as well as fighting with the Muslims from the north. In retrospect, if we could get in a time machine, we'd go and tell them, why don't you join forces and kick out the Muslims? Sorry, we're not supposed to be secular here. But then that was maybe the problem. They had their rivalry like that. So, but this theory, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers, this name, Rupa Anugha Viruddha, Apasiddhanta, Dvanta Harin, this name of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it's not just some poetry. You've read all the Keshavana, you've read all these. If anyone speaks anything against the teachings of Rupa Goswami, he would cut them up so badly, they wish they had never been born. he was just so heavy. This is Brahmin. By their words, the Kshatriyas have to fight with the sword. And the Brahmins, they're much more severe than the Kshatriyas with their words. But for the cause of serving the truth, not insulting others unnecessarily, only when required. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is well known and appreciated, except by some offensive people. His influence here in Puri is obviously very powerful up to the present day, and has particularly been enhanced by or revived, we could say, and enhanced by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers. According to Jayananda's Chaitanya Mangal, which is a biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they didn't accept as authorized. But it doesn't mean that we don't accept everything. It's not that we reject everything in it. So that's widely accepted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's forefathers, they came from Jajpur in Orissa also. From there they migrated to Srihatta in Assam, which is now part of, traditionally it's part of Assam, but now it's part of Bangladesh. And from there, after just a few generations, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother and father both came from there to Navadvip, as did many people. Many Brahmins came from Srihatta to Navadvip at that time, including Srivash Thakur, Advaita Acharya. So the people of Orissa also feel close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being one of them. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by having his forefathers come from Orissa, he endeared himself to the Oriya people. By being born in Bengal, he endeared himself to the Bengalis. Throughout Bengal, and especially in Navadvip, you'll find people love Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even many people are communists and they're atheists in Bengal, but they still love Gauranga. They say he was the best communist. See, he mixed with all the Brahmins and the low class people, and he was a real communist. They can't speak against him. They still love him, which means they're not really atheists at all. They're trying hard. Some of them are trying harder than others. Some of them are doing a pretty good job of it. Anyway, I don't want to speak about that now. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is loved by the people of Orissa, and they think he's also... Actually, those Bengalis, they think he's Bengali, but he's one of us. That's what they think. So, whatever way. In any way, anyone has attachment for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are dhanya. They are fortunate, glorious. Of course I said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he appeared here, which means also that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was here. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his forefathers, that's clearly from Orissa. That Choti, that village near to Kendrapara. Choti, actually there are two villages, Choti and Choti Mangalpur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he lived here. He was involved in the management of the temple here. So our great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're intimately linked with Puri and with Orissa. And when we say this, we might say, well, that sounds trying to make some kind of bodily identification, but no. We should always remember, Sri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jane Chintamani Tar Hoy Braja Bhume Bash. Whoever knows that the land of West Bengal is spiritual, such a person lives in Vrindavan. So it may not look very spiritual, but it's all the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So similarly here, Puri, the whole Kshi Kshetra, Jajpur, these are all completely spiritual places. So when we say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is closely associated with Puri, that's both in the sense that we can say in his manifest pastimes in the world, he was here from such and such a time and he did this and this, but it's also the eternal spiritual relationship, because Puri is the geologists, they might speculate how this soil was formed in the, I don't know, what do they say, Paleolithic period. I don't know if any soil was formed in that period. And the Himalayas are new mountains. They're only a few million years old, formed by when the different parts of the land came together and then they pushed up. They have their theories. But anyway, this land is spiritual. It's eternal. Before the Big Bang, that's the question is, what was there before the Big Bang? And the scientists say, well, we don't know. And we probably never will know. We know. There was Puri, there was Vrindavan, there was Navadvip. And then the whole universe expands. So Puri is eternal. And then, just like you may think that the body of a Vaishnava is something material, but, and you can analyze, you can take a blood sample and say there's so many, this cell and that cell and hemoglobins and so many things. So you can analyze also Puri. From the soil it appears this was deposited here. Maybe, that's an important scientific word, maybe, one of the most important words. But we know for sure, whatever they say, that this is completely transcendental land. And it may be that it appears to have some certain geological history, but that's just like saying the Vaishnavas. They're born in such and such a place, and then he got sick, he had a fever. This is just material vision. Srila Prabhupada himself, of course, was very much attached to Jagannath. At the age of 5, he started Jagannath Rath Yatra. He insisted. He was a very strong personality. Even from the age of 5, he harassed his father so much that his father had to arrange for a Rath cart to be built and a whole festival and all the local women cooking preparations. He's a preacher and an organizer and a pure devotee. Right from the very, and very powerful person. At the age of 5, he got all the local families involved, and he was organizing a Jagannath Rath Yatra at the age of 5. And later, of course, he organized that all over the world. And he described that he was all, in his childhood, he was always waiting for the opportunity. He was saving money so that he could go on the train to Puri. He always wanted to come. Just at toward the end of his manifest pastimes, Srila Prabhupada, he stayed in Bhuvaneshwar for a month. At that time, where our temple is, it was just open ground with snakes, and Srila Prabhupada lived in a little hut at this time. He had so many plush apartments all over the world, very opulent temples with very opulent facilities. Some of you may have seen them in Bhaktivedanta Manor, just like the lord of the castle. In New York, he had very aristocratic facilities also. Unfortunately, that building has been sold. In Melbourne, in Australia, first-class facilities. In so many places, Srila Prabhupada chose to come and live for 1 month in a little mud hut at Bhuvaneshwar with the hand pump for taking baths. And during that period, he also came to Puri. And at one time he went to bathe in the sea. He was exhibiting the pastime of being weak and sick, so he just stood, and then he had his disciples. They would lift the water from the sea and pour it over him. So they gave him the abhishek of the seawater, which is all the holy rivers come there. That's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where he bathed. So Srila Prabhupada, when I was here some time ago, a few years ago, I was this Haridas Prabhu of ISKCON Television in Bombay was making this video for about Puri with myself talking in that. So as part of that, we were fortunate to meet the king of Puri, who I actually first met him in Berlin, of all places. He happened to be there, or the devotees had invited him there for Rath Yatra. Was being held there. So, in the course of speaking with him, he said that the people of Puri and all of Orissa, they're very proud and very happy that Jagannath is being worshipped all over the world. And the people from all over the world are coming to Puri. And of course it's Srila Prabhupada who brought Jagannath to the Jagat. So I'll finish here for now by saying, Sri Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.